Most of you, or many of you, might have seen the bumper sticker already on the back of a car or somewhere that says Christians are not perfect, just forgiven. And I think that should be extended, or I think there should be a line added to that that says Christians are not perfect, just forgiven, and not just forgiven, but forgiving. Forgiveness is probably the hardest thing to do in our Christian journey in life. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, as Jesus taught us to pray, forgive us our debts or our trespasses as we have forgiven our debtors. We ask God to forgive us, as the song was sung by the choir here this morning. Have mercy, forgive us our debts, forgive us our trespasses. The word forgive in the Greek language that would have been used by Matthew as he wrote implied to send out or to send forth something. So when we say forgive us our debts, what we're doing, we're sending them away, we're sending them out, we're sending them forth so that we don't have the burden of them on us anymore. There have been a lot of songs and poems and books written about forgiveness, how to forgive others and the importance of forgiveness. But it is a common theme throughout humanity that is it is important to forgive others. Anyone who lacks forgiveness and does not extend forgiveness to others carries a weight and a burden around all of their lives that literally eats away at their soul and causes them physical ailment throughout life. Forgiveness is a bondage. It's an imprisonment that we put ourselves in and that the enemy uses to wear us down over the course of time. Webster's Dictionary describes forgive as to give up resentment against someone else or to give up the desire to punish them or to pardon them. To give up resentment or to give up the desire to punish someone. And in the second, Webster says that to forgive is to cancel, as in a debt. How many of you this morning are harboring that resentment in the depths of your soul? Or you're harboring a desire to punish, to give someone what they deserve? The Bible and Jesus both speak volumes about the importance of forgiving others when they sin against us. Nowhere, absolutely nowhere in the Bible does it tell us not to forgive others, or that it's all right not to forgive someone. Although Paul makes mention in 1 Corinthians of turning a man that was involved in sexual immorality over to Satan, it doesn't say that Paul does not forgive the man. In fact, Paul goes on to say that it's not up to him to forgive or judge the man, but it's up to God to judge the man and forgive him. In the same way, in 1 Timothy, Paul speaks to those having rejected the prophecies. He speaks about Hymenaeus and Alexander and says that he turns them over to Satan, but he does not say that he does not forgive them. The Bible does teach that true forgiveness comes from the heart, and true forgiveness is rooted in thanksgiving for what God has done for us. It's sort of a worship, an act of worship. It's a spiritual discipline that we're involved in. One who cannot forgive is not thankful to God for God's grace in forgiving them. So forgiveness is practicing grace. Grace is a reward or a gift to an undeserving recipient. That's grace. Somebody doesn't deserve it, but they receive it anyhow from the giver. As we turn to the text today, we find Jesus with his disciples in Capernaum, up in Galilee, after the Transfiguration. He's teaching about the kingdom of God, as he continuously does. And he's teaching on church discipline. and forgiveness. And he says prior to this, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. And he goes on to talk about how to deal with those who don't listen and repent and turn back to the right way. In fact, he says that if he refuses to listen, even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector, or treat him as you would a heathen or a tax collector. Now, that isn't in the sense that we're supposed to treat them poorly and be mean to them. That is in the sense that this classified them in a certain group of people that were not God's children. You see, if someone refuses to repent of their ways and refuses to listen, someone who has sinned against you, they were not truly of God's children. So Peter, he gets a little technical. He's like us, right? He gets a little technical. He says, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? You see, the rabbi said to forgive 3 times, but Peter, he's trying to get a little more holy and a little more technical, and he says, well, should we forgive up to 7 times? And Jesus says, no, I tell you, you should forgive 70 times 7. Okay? Now, I don't want you to get all wrapped up in the numbers here, because that's not what Jesus is teaching here. We get all wrapped up in how many times I'm supposed to forgive others. Because we can't wait to get to the end and say, I've forgiven them all those times, now it's time to give them what they deserve. That's not what Jesus is teaching. He's teaching about the kingdom of heaven and God's kingdom people. So he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Or this is the way the kingdom of heaven works. And he tells the parable about a king who decided to settle his accounts with his servants. And as he began to settle his accounts, a man who owed him 1,000 talents was brought in. The master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. So the servant fell on his knees and begged, be patient with me. He didn't ask the guy to forgive him of those debts, to cancel those debts. He said just simply, be patient with me. Be patient with me, and I will pay back everything. He asked for grace, something he didn't deserve, more time, the master's patience. And the servant's master took pity on him and canceled the debt and let him go. Canceled the debt. That wasn't what the servant was asking for. The servant was just asking, please be patient with me. But the master had mercy on him and canceled the debt. He extended grace and forgave the debt. Now this servant, he went out and he found his fellow servants who owed him just simply 100 denarii. He grabbed the man by the neck and he was about to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. In anger, he was demanding that his fellow servant pay him. He wasn't asking, he was demanding. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him with the same request for grace. Be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. And instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. So that man asked for grace, and instead he was punished. The other servants went and told the master. The master called the servant back in, and he said, you wicked, you evil, you dirty servant. I forgave you. I canceled all the debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy, compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? So in anger, the master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he could pay back all he owed. So you see, because in the first place, the master extended grace to the servant, and the servant did not do likewise to those who were in debt to him. He experienced torture, suffering, pain, agony, deep down in the depths of his soul. And Jesus said, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. We remember that heart thing we talked about a couple weeks ago, or we talked about when Jesus said it's not what you put in your mouth, it's what comes out from the heart that makes you holy. He said, unless you extend grace to others in the kingdom of God, God's people are forgivers. They forgive. That's part of who they are. Yeah, it may not feel right. It may not make us feel any better. But that's not the point. The point is God's kingdom people are forgivers because God is the forgiver. And Jesus said that my heavenly Father will treat you this way. He'll allow you to be tortured. He'll allow you tribulations and trials and pain and suffering unless you forgive your brother from the heart. In James chapter 3, he speaks about this. He says, speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not himself been merciful. A warning from James. Now some of you might be thinking, well, preacher, you don't know what they said, or you don't know what they did. I can't forgive, or I can forgive, but I'll never forget. What kind of an attitude is that? And yeah, I might not know, but Almighty God knows. Almighty God knows. He knows everything. He knows what they said. He knows what they did to you. He knows how they made you feel. Don't you think God is going to take that into consideration in dealing with them separately? It isn't up to us. God says, vengeance is mine. Vengeance is mine. God's kingdom people are forgivers because we are forgiven by God. We extend the mercy and the compassion to everyone on this earth. Not because they're good people, but because they are human beings. They are God's creation. Who are we to think that we can treat God's creation in that way? Who are we to think that we can judge others and treat them poorly and resent them every time we're around them and cannot give up that desire inside to punish them because they said something, did something to us a long time ago? Who are we to think that we can act like that and yet expect Almighty God to have mercy? Have mercy on us. You see, that's poor reasoning, terrible theology. And it's not how our Master wants us to treat others. Failing to forgive others is torture on us. It's a burden we carry in our hearts until the day we die, unless we release that burden by forgiving others. We carry it around like a thorn. We see those people, we see that person out in public, and we turn the other way. It actually dictates how we live our lives. It's crazy to live like that. It's crazy to think like that. And Jesus doesn't want us to be like that. He wants us to think in terms of being kingdom people and forgiving others. And I'm sure there's just something inside all of us that deserves God's punishment and wrath. But God is gracious. He practices grace, and so should we. He gives us what we don't deserve, and that's grace. We say, that person doesn't deserve that. That isn't up to us. That's up to God. In fact, the Bible teaches us we should pray for those people because they're lost. And they are classified as pagans and tax collectors would be classified. In other words, they're not God's children. We're not God's children. If we play these little childish games, I'll forgive, but I'll never forget. Do you know what Psalm 150 tells us? Excuse me, it's Psalm 103. Psalm 103 tells us, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. So far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. He's removed them. He's canceled the debt, and He does not remember them. Do you know who remembers them? The devil remembers them. The devil's got them all written down, and he'll bring them out. And if we are harboring them inside our souls, storing them up inside, categorizing them and cataloging them. This person did this to me. That person said that to me. A long time ago, this person hurt my daddy, and that person hurt my granddaddy so long ago. And we have this burden inside. You know who's going to bring that up and stir it up? The devil's going to. He's going to look in there and say, yeah, remember the time. Yeah, remember the time. And stirs up our anger inside us and our contempt and causes us not to act like kingdom people. Well, you want to know something? The devil doesn't have that power over us if we truly have Jesus Christ in our hearts. All we got to do when the devil comes knocking is say, Jesus, will you get that for me? Turn it over to Jesus. Say, I know, Lord, that sin was forgiven then on the cross. You died for me. And you remember it no more, but the enemy's trying to drag it up and drag me through the mud. And I'm going to tell you something, Jesus will come to your rescue. And rescue you from that guilt and that bondage and that shame and that burden that we carry around inside us. But to be kingdom people, we have to forgive as God forgave us first in Jesus Christ and gave us salvation. There's a popular singer, a Christian singer, that has a song called Forgiveness. His name's Matthew West. He sings a song that goes like this: it's the hardest thing to give away and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. It takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. It flies in the face of all your pride. You see, when we give up our forgiveness, this is what it does. It flies in the face of all your pride. It moves away the mad inside. It's always anger's own worst enemy. Even when the jury and the judge say you got a right to hold a grudge, it's the whisper in your ear saying, set it free. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. So show me how to love the unlovable. Show me how to reach the unreachable. Help me now to do the impossible. Forgiveness. In closing, Paul sums it up best in Ephesians chapter 4. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of. Notice what Paul commands us. Get rid of. Get rid of it. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Peter came to Jesus and he said, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? Jesus wasn't giving us a number to shoot for. He was giving us a principle that we just simply are supposed to forgive every time and for all time. Let's pray. God our Father, are we